This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Thanks for listening to the Prime Time with Isaac and Suk podcast, brought to you on the fan by your local Les Schwab Tire Center, doing the right thing since 1952.
This is Primetime on Sports Radio 1080 The Fan.
We expect the best. We're not afraid to break someone. Do you hear me?
Primetime is your source for the best in local, regional, and national sports.
Go ahead and clap. Mediocrity deserves applause.
Isaac Robb.
I'm miserable. I had to get up at 10 o'clock this morning.
Jason Sakanic.
I'm a dude playing a dude disguised as another dude.
Primetime on 1080 The Fan.
P1 Scott is in. He says Judge Pepe Le Pew will not look favorably upon the woman's lawsuit. I like that very much.
Can you guys shut up?
Welcome back. It's your sports bro. Big Zook out today. He took John up to see Pearl Jam in Seattle tonight. So double dating up there. And they will be back tomorrow. So I don't even know if we're going to talk to John tonight at the end of the club. But Zook will be back tomorrow on the show. Tomorrow is a short show, because the Seahawks have their first preseason game, and that will be at 5. So we're going to turn and burn tomorrow. Coming up tonight, very exciting stuff. Mario Cristobal, the Ducks coach, will join us at 6, which is an odd way to kick off the club. But that's what we're going to do. That was the time he had. So he'll be joining us in about an hour. This hour, we'll talk how many games the Blazers will win. Oh, wait, maybe not. Some college football. The Mariners' woes are getting bad. And I want to talk about this Facebook thing. The Mariners game is on Facebook today. Facebook only. And I want to discuss that with you guys. In the club, you know, I was talking to somebody last night who, for whatever reason, I didn't ask questions, had some info on swingers, you know, like couples that, you know.
Share.
And I...
They're just sharers, and sharing's caring,
hey,
right?
Hey, to each their own. I profess to him that I think that's way more common than anybody, than most people believe. I think it goes on a lot.
Really?
Yeah, I do. I think it's more common than you think. See, you're already doubting that.
I'm instantly doubting that, yes.
So I
think people talk a big game, but the second it's giving up your wife to some other guy, you're like, whoa.
You think so?
Maybe not, buddy. Let's blow your roll.
Well, I went on the internet today to try to find some numbers on that, and I didn't have much luck, but I do have some inside intel, and I find it fascinating. And so that will be in an abbreviated club after the Mario Cristobal interview tonight. He's coming up at 6. Right now, the Hot 5 at 5.
Oh. Hot topics, hot opinions.
Oh, darling, I'm hot today.
And hot air. It's time for the Hot 5 at 5.
That's hot.
The Hot 5 at 5 on Primetime with Isaac and Suk.
No, I mean it. That's very hot.
Refreshed by Frostbrewed Coors Light. Download the reward app and start earning points towards one-of-a-kind experiences, game tickets, and rewards.
I got you, babe. I got you, babe.
Number five.
All right, Clay Helton swears by this kid, says he's vetted him, talked to his family, investigated the situation, and thinks he'll be a great member of the Trojan family. But
with an unprecedented vetting?
So yes. Well, he didn't say that. It's not Astros-level vetting, but there's an offensive lineman by the name of Bernard Schirmer, who just a couple of years ago punched a referee in a junior college game down in Southern California, knocked him out cold. The video is quite alarming. He was arrested, but was never charged because the DA didn't think that they could get a jury convinced that he did it on purpose, because he's always maintained that it was an accident. Well, anyway, Bernard Schirmer has signed with USC And Clay Helton says the program did evaluate him and concluded that he will be a great member of the Trojan family. But remember, zero tolerance.
While they're at the school.
Number four.
Oh, no, wait, sorry. I meant, remember, second chances.
Yes. And then zero tolerance.
Yeah, but now zero tolerance.
Unless it's the first time when they're in your program, then zero tolerance, right. No second chances.
And can they recruit? Because then, you know, then it gets a little murky. Can they close out games? Can they close out baseball games? Because then it's like, well.
Right.
We'll unprecedentedly vet you, but zero tolerance. Yesterday, we told you Washington lost the top recruit from their 2018 class, five-star linebacker Ollie Cahoe. He apparently had some family issues, and the talk was he needed to be home in Reno, where he's from, with everyone. Well, he is headed to Alabama a day later. He's on his way to Tuscaloosa. He will be there and in pads for Alabama's football team by tomorrow. So nothing fishy there at all. Rumor has it that perhaps he had some qualifying issues at Washington, and he may have had to sit out a year at Washington, but his family wants him to play right away because he has a bright future perhaps in the NFL and he can do that at Alabama. They wanted him to go there with Tosh Lapoy anyway, so take that for what it's worth. It's bad and getting worse for the Mariners. The Texas Rangers took a dump on Marco Gonzalez's dining room table today. 11-7, they beat the M's, taking 2 of 3. Newly acquired reliever Sam Tuivalala.
I say Tuivailala because there's an I in there.
Tuivailala, okay. He strained his Achilles, so that's not good. Also, Zach Duke gave up 4 runs.
And Adam Morin hasn't looked good either.
Look, it's a mess. Also, Scott Servais is now hinting that Felix Hernandez, his days in the rotation are numbered. He has a career worst ERA of 5.73. His next turn is to come in Houston, and that likely will not happen. He won't be released because he's owed about $27 million bucks next season, and he can also refuse any assignment to the minors due to service time. The guy likely to jump into the rotation would be Erasmo Ramirez, who is close to returning from injury. They say that his 3rd of 4 rehab starts is supposed to be Monday. The NBA schedule, part of it, we know. This is interesting. The Blazers are going to open the season October 18th with a home game against LeBron and the Lakers on TNT. It will be LA's first game with their new superstar, LeBroni. I believe the Blazers, I didn't look this up. Did the Blazers continue their streak over the Lakers? I thought they beat them 15 in a row. Don't quote me on it. Mike clearly doesn't know.
I remember they were on the streak, but I feel like they lost the last game in LA. I thought, but
I gotta look that up.
Yeah. LeBron also doesn't play well in Moda Center.
Yesterday, Blazers will play on Christmas Day. This will be the first time they'll play on Christmas Day since 2010. They have a road game at Utah, and that one will be on ESPN. That will be the last of 5 Christmas Day games. That'll be at 7:30. 4 other Christmas games include LeBron and the Lakers visiting the Warriors and the Thunder in Houston. Side NBA note today, unwanted big man Jahlil Okafor has signed with the Pelicans. So he'll be in camp with New Orleans. And number one, the NCAA has adopted a series of policies that they hope help clean up college basketball. The biggest change is they are going to allow elite high school recruits and players to be represented by NCAA certified agents while playing. They have also instituted longer postseason bans, suspensions, and recruiting restrictions for coaches who break the rules. I'm sure that'll have teeth. And they are overhauling the investigation process, so now any investigation into a school will involve 2 independent groups. The first group will include the traditional NCAA enforcement staff, but also external investigators with no school or conference affiliations. And then the second group will be a 15-person panel of people with expertise in law, higher education, and sports with 0 affiliation to any school. And that's the group that will review the findings of the investigation, oversee hearings, and decide penalties.
And there's a big one in there that you didn't say. is now if a player goes to the draft and doesn't get drafted, he can now go back to college. So it's not just the you have 10 days to decide kind of thing. You can go through the whole process, and if you do not get drafted, you can go right back to where you were.
We'll talk a little bit more about this in our next segment. Just a quick thought on that and what that means. And then we've got the Blazers over-under win totals and the Mariners woes and college football because Mario Cristobal is coming up. So stay here. I want you to. Don't go anywhere. And as they say on the FM dial. No, wait. What do they say on the FM dial? Do you know, Mike?
I have no idea where you were going with it. I can't even help you. You didn't say a word.
Don't turn that dial or don't punch that dial or something. I don't know. We got to get Tim Taylor in here.
Okay. He probably says it.
Hot 5 at 5, refreshed by Frost Brewed Coors Light. Download Coors Light's new rewards app and start earning points towards one-of-a-kind experiences and game tickets. 513 on The Fan.
Prime Time with Isaac and Souk on 1080 The Fan.
All right, we're going to bounce around this hour. Got a lot of different things to discuss. Very sportsy. Until Mario Cristobal comes on, he is scheduled to call in at 6. It is currently 5:18 if you'd like to set your Swatch watches. Souk will be back tomorrow. He's up in Seattle. He's going to rock out to Pearl Jam tonight. Mike just alerted me that the Boston Red Sox are 80-34. When was the last time they lost? I feel like they were like 65-34.
Right. They just don't lose. They win constantly. I think they lost the series before the Yankees one game to, I can't remember who.
Well, they're winning 70% of their games, a little over 70% of the games. So they're on pace now to win 113.6 games, which is just shy of the 2001 Mariners and the 1906 Cubs, the record 116 wins.
I think the Red Sox can get there. They have that feel right now where, last night they were losing by 2 runs late in that game, and they won by 2 because J.D. Martinez hit a big 2-run single or something like that.
God, that guy.
He's unbelievable.
He really is. And then Betts, him and Betts on the same damn team. God.
Don't forget about Benintendi and Bogarts and Chris Sale, Craig Kimbrell.
Well, at least it's not the Yankees, right, Mike? Oh, sorry. Well, hey, at least it's not. I mean, look, it could be a lot worse. You could be a Mariner fan.
True.
We'll get to that in a second. Hey, I want to this NCAA note. So they passed these policies that they think will help clean up college basketball. So elite high school recruits now can have agents, but that has to be determined by what USA Basketball, I think. And I was reading a tweet from Adrian Wojnarowski who said USA Basketball and the NBA didn't know anything about that?
No, they had no clue that this was happening, which is so NCAA.
You ain't kidding.
Hey, we're going to make this rule that's going to help us with the whole agent thing and keep players in a good spot, but we're going to make someone else do it. They'll do it, right? Let's just announce it and see what happens.
So they're apparently not too happy. But so it's not all recruits. It's just ones labeled elite by USA Basketball. Strange. But, you know, the agents have to be certified by the NCAA, but they can be represented while they're playing. So that's, I guess that's good. And then, as you mentioned, it is worthy of noting that you go put your name in the hat for the draft. You don't get drafted. You can go back to college.
Yes.
Which is nice. That's nice.
I agree.
That's an easy one. And then, you know, the whole overhauling of the investigation process. Basically, I would read you Mark Emmert, who is the head of the NCAA. I would read you his quotes. But they're nonsense. They're drivel. My analysis is that this is lipstick on a pig, is basically what this is. And the NCAA is a joke, and it will remain a joke until amateurism goes away and they usher major college sports into the 21st century, right? So, final thought is this.
That was a squirrely one in there.
You get my point?
I think so, but I might need to hear 16 more seconds of it just to be sure. becoming clearer now. Thank you.
Yeah, you're welcome.
Ah.
Yeah, thank you.
You really, really sold it there at the end.
Thank you.
Mm. What a great 50-second take. Really appreciate
it. Yeah. I do that from time to time. I think it just galvanizes the points. So next up on the docket, we've got to talk for just a moment about the Mariners. And I could play that clip again if you'd like, and we could move on from that.
It could be a very similar point.
Did you find them today on Facebook?
No. No, I didn't.
Did you want to find them on Facebook?
No. It's actually not that easy to find.
Really?
Yeah, like you, if you search for it, you can find it, but you would think that they would write in your homepage if they're playing a live MLB game, just put it right there and be like, hey, watch baseball. But they don't.
No, they don't. Twitter does that.
Yes.
Twitter did that today with the Braves Nationals, or maybe it was yesterday or something.
There's a little video right in the right.
Yeah, and it says click on that and you can just watch it. Yeah, Facebook doesn't do that. I didn't really care to watch the Mariner game, but I wanted to see, because everybody's griping. You know, you look at social media and like, ah, this Facebook watch thing is so stupid, and why is it only on? So this is one of those games where it was only on Facebook today. It wasn't on TV. And I wanted to see how hard it would be to find. And my God, all you do is pull up Facebook and type in Mariners or Rangers in the search bar, and it's right there.
Yeah.
But it's amazing how... Not that it's difficult, but it's amazing how that confuses people.
I don't know if it confuses people. I just think a lot of people still don't want to watch their sports on a small screen or a laptop or something. You know, I know that we're moving into people watching it in that realm, but I don't know if people like watching it in that way when you could just, especially when you're used to flipping it on the TV. And most people have fairly large TVs now because they're all pretty cheap and you get the big screen and, you know, you're on your couch.
Is it that we don't like watching it that way, or we're just not used to watching it that way?
I don't like watching it that way. I watch sports on my laptop all the time out of necessity. Sometimes there's two games at once in the football season. I'll put one on the TV, one on the laptop. You know, you want to keep an eye on both. But I just do it because you need to, or maybe it's the only way you can watch something. I don't prefer it.
Well, baseball is a very background sport. I mean, let's be honest. You know, we're glued to football. But baseball, you put on the TV, and, you know, you go about your business. You keep an eye on it. And... you know, when you've got your I don't know, your tablet or your laptop there, or maybe even your desktop, you're busy on it, right? Like it takes your, I mean, I know you can minimize it and watch it that way, but also type out of whatever it is you're typing on or Googling. But I don't know. I feel like there is, like, the last sports is going to, you know, Facebook and these types of platforms. It's only a matter of time. They're already testing it. It's
digital,
gonna happen,
if you will.
Yeah, but the TV still has quite a it just has quite a draw for what you're talking about. Like, just I want that up there while I do this on my screen.
Exactly. How often when you're watching it, and even if it's the NFL, where even that could be taking your undivided attention, do you spend 15 minutes on your phone instead? You're looking down, you look up, oh, hey, that's happening, cool. And then you text in somebody, or you're looking for some music or something. And then you look up again, oh, hey, you know, that's what's happening. So if you're taking your screen, then you're being, I mean, you're not forced, but it feels like you're like, well, got to watch this now. Can't feed my ADD. Just got to sit here and stare at it.
Well, you can cast it to your TV.
True.
You know,
not everybody has that functionality, though.
Right. And it's amazing. It really is amazing how little it takes to do a lot of things, and that will keep us from doing it. You know, even just the littlest thing.
It's not comfortable.
It's just, it's like, so how many times do you turn on the TV and you turn it on for something specific and you can't find it, and so you just move on? It's not hard. You can find the game, or you can find that show. It's just,
I don't normally do that. I'll find it if I'm looking for something.
So, for example, like the HBO, the Hard Knocks, which we reviewed earlier in today's unprecedented radio broadcast here, that didn't record on my DVR. And you said it happened to you, too.
Yes.
And then we think it's because they changed its name. But I had it set to record, you know, all seasons. But anyway, I go this morning to go watch it because I didn't see it last night. And I didn't find it on there. And I thought, oh, you know, now I got to go to the search. I have to go search that and put that back in the queue? Are you kidding me? this is putting me out. So
hashtag
I didn't.
First world problems.
So I didn't do that, and I went straight to HBO Go, and then HBO Go on my phone pops up. It's like, F it, I'll just watch it on my phone. And HBO Go pops up, and it needs my password for DirecTV, and I'm like, damn it. All I want to do is like, this is, none of this is hard.
No.
But we're so,
probably took you like 3 minutes to get to that point.
Not even that. Yeah. But it's like, that's a minute. But we're so conditioned that it's so easy that even when the first little tiny robot pops up, like, forget it, I'll watch it later. But because I didn't know my password. I'm like, what the hell is that password? So I went and looked for that, and I finally watched it later. But it is amazing. You've really got to beat us over the head with it, or we're going to, you know, you're not going to get the viewers that you want. So I tuned into the Mariners game on Facebook just to see how many people, because it says on there how many people are watching, and it was 28,000 or something. And I have no idea whether that's good or bad, because the game was kind of a blowout. But I don't know whether that's good or bad. I don't know if the Facebook Watch is working at all. Twitter, it's a little easier. Either way, they're both easy, but it's, I don't know. How do you think those entities think the experiment is going with live sports? I'm not sure.
Honestly, I would probably guess they think it's negative, because 28,000 viewers doesn't sound like a lot to me. I mean, I know it's a lot of people, but on one of the most used websites, if not, yeah, it's probably like the second most used website in the world, Facebook. You get 28,000 for the only baseball game you have all week. What? So that's, again, like, I think it's partially on Facebook. Like, put it on everybody's page so that they see it if they want to watch sports. Because if they make it searchable, you're only going to get the people who want to watch it. You're right. Not going to get all the
seek
extra eyeballs. Yeah.
All right. Well, the Mariners, it's a sinking ship. And we'll talk about that coming up next. And how many games will the Blazers win? The over-under is out. It is 529, and here's Mike with SportsCenter.
Time with Isaac and Souk on 1080 The Fan.
All right, 535, Mario Cristobal of the Ducks coming up at 6. What else is going on? Well, one last thought on the Mariners stuff. Felix Hernandez, man, that is painful. He's just getting beat around. He's lost command. 5.73 ERA, career worst. And yet, they owe him the rest of his deal this year, and they owe him $27 million next year. So I don't know what you do. You can't demote him. He can veto that. You got to pull him from the rotation, and you probably just bury him in the bullpen, right? You just bury him out there and throw him in there when you need some innings in games where you're getting blown out or you're blowing out your opponent. But, man, they do not look good right now. Good God.
Felix just hasn't been able to figure out how to become the older paint-the-corners pitcher that a lot of the guys have to turn into.
Well, he doesn't have the command. He said it last night. He's like, man, he even said it. Did you see his interview last night?
No.
It was demoralizing. He's done. And he even said it. He's like, I can't. I just lost it. So.
And he looks so good in the first few innings, too. His curveball was working.
It comes and goes. It comes and goes.
But, yeah, he has almost a 6 ERA. That is, this late in the season, that is horrific.
They are 2.5 back of the swinging A's. The Mariners now have a run differential of minus 29. If you want to know who in baseball that's similar to the Giants, who are 57 and 58, and the Twins, who are 53 and 59.
Yeah.
So the idea, and the Mariners are 15 games over 500. They're still in this, but the idea that, you know, they were just getting lucky and winning some close games, and that will recalibrate post All-Star break. That idea so far is playing out as quite accurate, but we'll see.
I mean, I think we all tried to look at it as, hey, it's good to win close games. You get used to doing it in the playoffs, and you want to be able to win those games. But now I'm starting to trend towards what you said there, which is they got lucky. They had a lot of close games. They have a really good closer, but if they're not in a close game, chances are they seem to be on the other side of it recently.
Yeah, but maybe it's just a funk. Give them time.
Like you said earlier in the week, it's still early August. There's still a month and a half left of the season. A lot can change in a month and a half.
Well, I don't look, I don't want my team peaking right now. That doesn't mean you want them playing like this, but you don't want them peaking right now. Right?
No, because you want them peaking in September.
They ain't keeping that up, so you never know. You never know. The A's, maybe they're peaking too soon. Maybe they're peaking too soon. You know, they got fires on the line tonight.
I got to say, and I'm going to talk about this on Hot Corner tonight as well, but 7 to 9 p.m. after primetime.
On the fan.
No Patrick today, just myself and Joe. And there's no way Oakland keeps this up. I don't believe it.
Why?
You said they were, what, 36 and 10 in the last 46 games or something crazy
no,
like
they
that?
No, they were 30. Did they win last night?
They lost last night.
They lost. So they were 33 and 10 in their last 43, which is, by the way, the best in baseball.
That is unsustainable. And for a team like the A's, which is a nice story and they're playing really well, they don't have the horses to keep that going for the rest of the season. I'm just going to say that. So they are peaking too early, in my opinion, and that should be a positive for Mariner fans.
Maybe they're the Blazers.
Maybe.
How about that?
One hot streak gets them close.
Right. I don't know. We'll see. Blazers over-under win total came out this week.
Nice transition.
Yeah. Thank you. Well, they don't call me a professional for nothing. Oh, wait. Do they call me a professional?
I believe they do, but I'm not sure. Do you have a business card that says you're a professional?
No. You know what I looked at today? You know how they have those signatures on your email?
Yes.
Do you have one?
I mean, I have one, yes. Not one that's mandated by corporate. I just put my own.
But. Yeah, see, we have those corporate ones where it gives the logos of the stations and shows your fancy title and all that. I ain't got time for that.
Ain't nobody got time for that.
I just made my own.
They just sent out an email saying, hey, fix your signature. Here it is. It's going to be great. And it adds the radio.com thing. And I'm just like, ah.
Do you have a signature at all?
No.
So you just sign it, Isaac?
I usually don't sign it. It says right there who it's from. Why do I need to sign it?
That's true.
It says my name on there.
I feel like it's kind of part of like the old-fashioned letter writing. Even though they knew who it was from, you still signed at the bottom. With love, Isaac Robb.
Yeah. Well, I don't ever write crap like that. I get to the point on email.
You have three-word emails?
Sometimes.
Nope. Don't like it. Send.
We don't need fluff on there. So the over-under for the Blazers win total was 41.5. Feel like that's accurate?
Yeah, I feel like.
I do too.
Because they got, what, 46 last year? Or 49?
They didn't win 49. I don't remember how many they won last year. I'll look it up for you. That's 10th in the West, by the way, 41.5. Vegas has them 10th in the West. This is from the Las Vegas Westgate Superbook. Oh, they did win 49. God bless America, you are a genius.
Bro.
I remember sports things sometimes.
You do. So, you're so sportsy.
So 49 to 41. Maybe that's a little bit low. I get, because here's the thing. The Blazers didn't change anything, right? They're essentially the same team, just a little bit younger. Is that 8 wins less? I don't know. But they're not going to make the playoffs. It doesn't feel like it this year.
Well, you have a few injuries or key injuries.
Like they got last year.
I'm saying to their team.
Oh, okay.
You know, like Lillard goes down. Like you don't have how long was their win streak? 13?
13.
You don't have one of those. That could easily be 41. I don't know. I think that sounds about right.
It's a good line to get both the over and the under on it. Yeah.
The Blazers are not so suddenly a bit of a yawn in the middle of the pack in the West.
Which is where they were 5 years ago and they didn't want to be.
Well, it's what I've been saying all along is that they've been this the whole time. But, you know, people get their hopes up and you get a 13-game win streak and then you trade for Nurkic. They've had moments where it's like, oh, well, maybe no, they're the same and they're going to be the same next year.
And the West got better around them.
And that's right. And the West got better around them.
Don't listen to Neil O'Shea saying teams just re-sign their players. No, the West is better.
Bifurcate.
They have.
And sublimate, too.
Utah, Minnesota, San Antonio, Denver, Lakers, Warriors, Thunder, Rockets and Pelicans
all better. And I would agree with all of those teams being
better.
Than
the Blazers, yeah. Yes. Yeah, I mean, is any of that close?
Nuggets, maybe.
Denver. Yeah, Denver, Minnesota. Maybe
there's a couple that are close, but no, they're all better.
So the Blazers are going to be fighting for their playoff lives. But hey, don't tank.
At least they're on Christmas Day.
No tanking. Yeah, and that game against LeBron, that's pretty sweet. Look, it is cool to have a Christmas Day game.
And it's in Portland, so everyone's going to see the raucous environment for game number one.
Yeah, so if you didn't hear, the Blazers will be opening the season at home against LeBron and the Lakers. That'll be the first time LeBron will suit up for the Lakers. That's pretty sweet. That game's going to be on TNT. That will be cool. That'll add some juice to the start of the season.
And LeBron struggles at MoDa/Rose Garden, so.
Well, I mean, I think some of that's like, Yeah, I don't think he will. This first game, I don't think you're going to see the same LeBron you've seen at MoDa. You know, a lot of times these guys come in the Northwest swing, and they've been out on the West Coast for a while, and it's Portland, and it's rainy, and it's the winter. And, you know, LeBron's been known to come into town and take games off. Look, Phil Jackson didn't even come up here one day. You remember that?
No.
Phil Jackson didn't even come here. He's like, I'll meet you back in LA.
He did, yes. What?
He did. There a lot of this. You know, I mean, look, the Blazers have been really good at home. Generally, I mean, they've had a good home court advantage, but some of it is that teams are traveling out this way and they don't want to. It's usually the end of a long road trip, or it's just a long travel. It's a lot of travel to get up here.
Well, for the first time, LeBron will not be traveling a lot to get up here, considering
it doesn't hurt him.
It'll be just coming up from LA.
Yeah, so that'll be cool. And then I think it's cool that they play on Christmas. That's awesome.
That's awesome. Blazer fans have been wanting that for years.
Yeah, and they're playing at Utah the last game Christmas. Now, other than those two games. See, I think they win both of those games, and then they go 2-80.
That seems reasonable.
That's what I have.
So you're going super, super hard on the under 41 wins.
Yeah.
I think it's really sexy.
Are we getting the schedule, too? Is that?
I don't think it's releasing yet. I think this is just some little tidbits here and there to keep themselves in the news cycle.
Hey, did you see I have my MLB to Portland shirt on today?
I did.
Showing off my dad bod.
Yeah, I know.
Because it's kind of tight.
Slightly tight.
They're a little snug. But I have a Major League Baseball to Portland stat, and it pertains to the Blazers.
Okay. I am intrigued.
Don't look at me like that.
I'm intrigued.
Oh.
Color me intrigued.
And then we'll have, so it's 5:45, and Mario Cristobal of the Ducks is scheduled to come on at 6. So we've got an abbreviated club. He's coming on in 15 minutes. So stick around. Plenty to come here on The Fan.
No. Prime time with Isaac and Souk on 1080 The Fan.
I think we should move on. I'm moving on to MLB to Portland, man. I'm jocking that. I'm riding that horse. That's what's up. I got my MLB to Portland shirt on today. I'm going to send one down to my brother in San Diego so he can go to Petco Park and wear it and have it retweeted by the Portland Diamond Project.
I have seen they like to retweet that. People
well, they're trying to get,
jersey.
Aren't they trying to get every ballpark? They're trying to get somebody wearing the MLB to Portland shirt in every ballpark.
Yeah.
People are sending them in. It's great. Nothing new on that front. They're trying to secure land. Mike Barrett hopped on the Portland Diamond Project Twitter account today and asked questions. And in typical Barrett form, he didn't say much. But he did say, like, one of the questions was, what is the biggest obstacle? And he basically just said timing. It's like, we think we can do it. The timing just has to work out. There's a lot of politics in town. There's a lot, you know, these deals are complicated, each one of them that they're working on. And so hopefully they can secure some land soon and we can have something to really cheer about. But
we've seen a couple of the Portland politicians come out and say that they believe in this, though, and that they think it's going in the right direction. And they had what the obviously the mayor came out and said it, but who was it yesterday?
I don't know.
It was like Fish or something like that. I forget the guy's
Nick
name.
Fish.
I think it was him.
Didn't Dirt and Sprague have him on?
Yeah, but I don't know if that was from that or just him speaking. But yeah.
Yeah, it's great. Yeah. I mean, they're not, as I said before, I've talked to somebody from City Hall. They're not going to get in the way of this. As long as this group with Barrett and the Portland Diamond Project has their stuff together and it isn't like, you know, remember when Amazon floated out the idea of, well, hey, make a bid and we'll, you know, our headquarters, you know, I mean, come on. Portland is sitting there going, really? We're going to waste a dime on this? We ain't getting that. It's, you know, they don't want one of those types of things. But as long as this is legit, which it is, MLB is going to expand. And it sounds like they have a lot of big money behind this, then the city's not going to get in the way. Not this time.
And I think from what we heard from Rob Manfred a couple of times on various interviews is he keeps naming Portland. We've seen that Portland is the best set up at the moment for getting baseball of all the cities that want it. So perfect.
We're popping here, man. We got a lot of people here. You know, it's growing. It's an awesome market, and I think Major League Baseball would do well here. And, you know, you got to think too, like, I don't know if it's a legacy play for Wheeler, Ted Wheeler, our mayor. But, you know, it's like somebody has got to be kind of the sort of the guy or the, you know, the group that ushers in Portland as a big league city. And this could be it.
Yeah.
You know, getting Major League Baseball, because Portland is growing into a major city. It's rising up the population ranks and the market ranks, and it's just it's headed that way. And so it's somewhat symbolic, but if you're Ted Wheeler, you know, maybe you can look at this as like, yeah, because nobody, you know, you're at Vera Katz died recently. At her funeral, they're not talking about like her balancing budgets and, you know, this and that. They're talking about legacy plays. They're talking about things like this. Like, what did you do? What are you known for? What are you remembered for? So there's that too. It's time. It's going to happen. I really do believe it's going to happen. And it's going to be great.
And they gave us that teasing tweet where they were taking the picture on the river and they said, stay tuned. And, you know, so maybe the purchase of the property is coming soon. Barrett did say, what, 4 to 6 weeks from the last time we talked to him? So yeah, that was 2 to 3 weeks ago. So we're getting close to that time frame now. And if that if they get a piece of land and then the stadium renderings come out, I think Suka said this, that's when it's on.
Yeah, I need something tangible here.
Yeah.
Because everybody's just kind of sitting and waiting right now. But, you know, it sounds like T2 in play. That's the Terminal 2 site up off of Highway 30, the former Port of Portland area, now owned by the Dolan guy, the globe lighting guy.
I still think that might be the best spot out of all the options available.
The Zidell land, which is down here by us, South Waterfront, is
that'd be preferred for us.
Very much in play. From what I understand, the Vaughn Street thing, they've kind of soured on that one over there. And then I haven't heard much at all about the PPS site.
Right.
So I don't know what's going on there. Anyway, I wanted to throw this out at you. I saw this on Twitter. We're going to have Mario Cristobal on here in a second, so it's going to be an abbreviated club tonight. But I would like to note this, that Major League Baseball may be here to take your mind off of the middle-of-the-pack Blazers. And by the way, one other note, because we were talking about them last segment, I do believe Paul Allen may sell soon, and I wonder if Major League Baseball to Portland, if that ends up happening down the road a couple years, it just starts to galvanize, if that pushes him over the edge, because he ain't going to like that. But anyway, we've talked about that a million times, and we don't need to go into it here. But
if you call that, if that happens soon and you were, you know, one of the first people who brought that up, it's going to be such a cool moment when it happens. You're going to be like, told you, been telling you since 2018. He's done with the Blazers.
I am very much I told you so guy. So yeah, you're probably right about that, Mike. No, I mean, it's my spidey senses. Some things I've heard, you know, this town is not very big. People talk, but I don't know. It could be wrong because nobody really knows what the hell's going on with Paul Allen, quite frankly.
He doesn't talk to anybody.
Right. It's like, you got to kind of read the tea leaves or at least try. So 17 markets in the U.S. have both baseball, Major League Baseball and the NBA. Did you know, I saw this on Twitter today, that MLB beats the NBA in 14 of the 17 markets that have both?
Wow.
And MLB wins by an average of 107% across all 17 markets.
Is it markets of just those two, or that have those two and other sports?
It has those two. You would think that's a lot.
Does that include LA? Because it has those two, but has all the other sports.
Yeah, I think it would include LA.
Okay.
The three NBA markets that win are San Francisco, Miami, and Cleveland. Interestingly enough, San Francisco, hell of a sports market because they love their Giants down there. But the Warriors, you know, with what they're doing,
that's only a recent boom for them.
Well, and Cleveland's going to flip the other way with LeBron gone now. But
although nobody goes to Indians games still.
I thought that was interesting. Major League Baseball outpaces the NBA, and this is ratings, local ratings, in 14 of the 17 markets that have both. All right, Mario Cristobal, Oregon football coach, is coming up next. It's very early in camp, but can we get him to talk about players who have come out of the gate strong? Who's stepping up at wide receiver? They were at Nike Tuesday. Why the change of scenery? So much to talk to him about, and we'll do that next on The Fan.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.